Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, of course, we know that COVID-19, pardon me, certainly didn't do the nightclub industry any favours. It hasn't done the bar industry and the hotel industry and the hospitality industry in general any favours, as most have been closed for God knows how long. Thankfully, the hotel's back open again. And by July, it certainly looks like the indoor dining and drinking will be allowed again. But where does that leave the nightclub industry? We don't know yet. We don't know how long it's going to be before we can have a group of 1,000 people on a dance floor heaving and jumping around. Now, they've done some experiments, of course, in the UK already, which seemed to work out fairly well, by the way. In Liverpool, they did a great one with 1,000 people at a nightclub, and it seemed to work fairly well. But I think it's going to be a while because of the cautiousness, or some people believe maybe overcautiousness. But in saying that, the nightclub industry in itself had already had a bit of a shaky run between, say, 2005, maybe 2007, right up to recently anyway. I think a lot of things like the smoking ban, the change in lifestyle, people going to college didn't have as same money as people would have had in the 70s and 80s, you know, because people in the 70s and 80s would have went straight to work, so they had more money. So the nightclubs were busy 5 and 6 nights a week, whereas more recently they were only busy on Friday and Saturday nights. So they were already in trouble. The music has changed. A lot of things have changed. And I want to know what nightclub, you know, we all remember the great nightclubs of all over the country, of Dublin, Limerick, Cork and Galway. What were your favourite nightclubs? Which ones did you go to? Where did you meet your other half? And maybe you could tell us a little kind of story or a ditty about where you met them and how you met them and who the DJ was and what he played. I can remember them all because I worked in them all at one point or another. And also to another man, Ian is on the line. Ian, good afternoon to you.
Niall, how's things?
Ian, you've worked in the nightclub industry all your life.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, from about 1985.
Okay.
Up to last year.
Up to last February, essentially.
Quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I was more of a promoter but from 2018 onwards. But if you go back to, say, the very early days of the 80s, like I have a list here in front of me of at one stage in Dublin, between the late 80s and to the mid to late 90s, we had 26 nightclubs operating in Dublin. I don't think that's ever going to come back. That's never going to happen again. But I mean, I think that's a lot to do with that is the change in times. Because one of the main reasons I think this has happened is we don't really have a youth culture anymore like we did in the 80s. And we had a big one in the 90s and we had, you know.
When you say youth culture, something that brought people together, I suppose. We had house music brought people together. Techno brought people together. In the 80s, it was the kind of acid music brought people together. Those kind of different cultures. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, you can go as far back as where youth culture was developed around music styles. So you can go back to as far as, you know, you can go back to the 70s where glam rock made a big impact. Then the mid-70s, you had punk rock.
And New Romantics, the Mods.
New Romantics, yeah, New Romantics. I mean, you had the Blitz Club in London that opened up and made a huge impact. And then you go right through the 80s and then up to the late 80s, early 90s, house music and dance music was a huge part of youth culture. And we just don't have that anymore. And I think a lot of that is basically to do with, obviously, different ways to access your music. You know, if you go back to those times.
You had to buy a record.
Yeah, I had to buy a record.
And everything was in the top 30. So everybody was listening to the same music. We were all listening to the same songs.
Well, I think you were, but I mean, I think a lot of like music and youth culture were always also based around fashion as well. So I mean, that made a huge impact, and that was a big part of it. But like, if you go back down the years, and you can mention off rattle 23, 26 nightclubs that were all operating in Dublin at one time, and every single one of them were busy. I mean, some of them were busy 6, some of them were busy 7 nights a week. Mm-hmm. But I think, as you said, like, students don't have the money now. I mean, if you go back to the 90s, when people left school, they went straight into jobs. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So they always had money in their pockets. There's so many different ways to access music now. I mean, the sky is the limit. Whereas back then, you saw maybe your favorite songs on Top of the Pops. You couldn't wait to get out on Friday night to dance to them. Or if you had the money, you could go down and you could buy them. Whereas now, Everything is literally free. You can have a nightclub in your front room now.
And anybody can be a DJ.
With a YouTube playlist.
Yeah.
Well, anybody is a DJ. But I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to see other people getting into the market. But it's a lot easier now. But I just think, I don't think, I know Robbie.
And do you look back at it now, sorry for interrupting you, but do you look back at it now with a level of sadness? Because it brought people together. A lot of people ended up getting married who met in nightclubs. Now, I know there's different ways people meet nowadays online with dating sites and all that kind of carry on. But can you ever see it? Look, we have to obviously acknowledge that COVID-19 has done a lot of damage to it as well. Probably the final nail in the coffin. Am I wrong, do you think?
No, I think it is because I think a lot of venues, like as a promoter, I was using a couple of venues in the city centre and some of them around the country, they're not going to reopen again. So that's going to do an awful lot of damage to me personally and to other promoters as well. Mm-hmm. But I still think people will always want to go out and be entertained, and people will always want to dance, Niall. I mean, if you look at even before the pandemic, any events I've been to or any events I've ran, people were just jumping around, dancing on the floor. These are all people in their 30s and the 40s. So maybe they're the only ones that do want to dance. But in relation to back in the day when, let's say, you worked in Rumours or you worked in Club M or I worked somewhere else, those people are all aged between, we say, 18 and 22, 23. That age group is not interested in the nightclub anymore. They don't know what it is anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's totally alien to them.
You're talking about the 18-year-olds now, yes.
Yeah, anybody who's 18 or 20 now, like, the nightclubs are not that important to them because they have too many other distractions. I mean, there's so many other options they have out there to enjoy themselves. And, I mean, the nightclub, I think we've three nightclubs left in Dublin now, Niall. Maybe at a push we might have three. And those three
That's a drastic change from, and those, even those three that you talk about. I don't want to mention the names of any particular nightclubs, but unless obviously they're long gone. But those three nightclubs that you talk about, they will even struggle to get, you know, a good crowd in 5-6 nights a week. When obviously the nightclubs get to reopen again, if in fact they get to reopen again, I suppose in the near future. But in our day, I said, when we go back to the 80s and the 90s, particularly the 90s as well, you had, as you mentioned, 26 nightclubs operating six nights a week at least. Sunday would have been one of some of the days that some of them closed because of the licensing laws. And they would be full on most of those nights.
And charging €15 in. £15.
Can you imagine asking an 18-year-old for 15 quid just to listen to music now? They'd laugh at you.
Yeah, even to get up and dance. If you want to be in a nightclub environment, back in the day, it was a great place to be, and you didn't mind paying £10 or £15 in, because it was just a fantastic atmosphere. And you listen, you always said there was some groundbreaking music in it. There was great DJs, and you know, I think any of the clubs that are still open now, I don't think they will open again. I really don't. I hope they do. But if they do open, I think it could be one night a week. I mean, we're never going to get back to the 6-7 nights a week ever again, obviously for the reasons that, you know, I mentioned to you.
Yeah.
And it is really, really, really sad. But the venues that are not going to open up again is going to even affect it. So most of them are being bought up, going to become hotels. They're going to
apartment blocks. Yeah, I know of one or two that are becoming apartment blocks, famous ones.
Well, and I know one very, very well-known nightclub in Dublin that was an institution in this country, not even in Dublin, but in the country, is going to be turned into a fitness, health and fitness centre. Mm. I mean, it's a sign of the times. And you kind of do, look, I think you do now look back at it with great, great affection, like I do as well.
Well, I made a great living out of years apart from anything else. So from that point of view, I'm going to sadly miss it. But stay there because I want to go to John as well. John, you're an Ireland's Classic Hits. John, you used to be a DJ.
I was a DJ in the Afro spot just around the corner from the apartment, and I actually used to dance in the apartment before I went.
Your line is a little bit bad. It's a bit muffled. Are you on a speaker or something there?
I am. Will I switch off the speaker?
Yeah, I would prefer if you did. That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, let me just switch.
Yeah.
Second.
That's much better, John. Okay, so you were a DJ in the Afro spot.
Right, now I have you.
Okay.
No, sorry about that. Yeah, as I was saying, I was a DJ in the Afro spot, which was just around the corner from the apartment. And I used to go to the apartment myself before I got involved with the Afro spot. But that was an amazing place because, I mean, there was no real alcohol sold in it. There was no drugs went on in it. But it was a great dance, and it was a culture because it was with people who liked the new romantic alternative type music, you know. So it was an institution.
Have you asked your average 18-year-old nowadays what's a new romantic? They wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't have a clue.
And this is what Ian was talking about a few minutes ago. In those days, there was a lot of different types of cultures and groupings that brought people together, like the New Romantics, like the Mods, like the Punks, or the house music. All those things brought people together.
Well, it did, yeah. And you just actually just the Afro Spot that actually housed the Mod movement as well for Dublin, because on a Sunday and Wednesday night, that was a mod night, them two particular nights. There was a great DJ, Noel Sinnott. I don't know if you remember
him. I do remember him, yeah, I do.
Yeah, and he's still around, and he's still playing all that good soul music, you know.
And that was down the lane where Buskers, or that Boomerang, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, it was at the back of the old McBurney's. That's where it was. It was the lane is called Adair Lane. And it's just at the back there of the old McBurney's, which turned into the Virgin Mega.
So what year was that, John?
It would have been about 1982, three.
Okay, that's before Ian. Three. That's it. That's before Ian's time.
Yeah, I used to go in there, Niall, actually.
Sorry, said Ian.
I used to go in there. I went in there the end of 1981 with a few friends. And we dyed our hair blue because we were all big fans of Spandau Ballet and Duran Duran. We looked like fools.
Well, I would have been the man on the decks there at that stage, because I was a DJ there until it kind of I moved away. So that's when, after I moved away, kind of things happened. I don't know what happened with the club. But what I was saying, it was a great meeting point, and it was great because, as Ian just said there, it was a place where you could dress whatever way you wanted, and nobody would bat an eyelid at you. That was the whole thing about it, because it was like a safe haven, but, you know, for people that wanted to express themselves.
And John, just what I was talking to Ian about just before you come on there, I mean, the nightclub industry is in turmoil, obviously. Now, COVID-19 obviously has done a lot of damage as well, but it was already doomed, wasn't it, John?
Oh, the nightclub, I hate nightclubs now, I really do. I hate them with a passion.
Why do you hate them?
Because there's just, it's just like, I just think it's very kiddish, and I know kids are kids, but there's just so many people are off their faces and everything. You can't even get, you know, it's not just the drink anymore, it's everything else that goes with it.
John, we were kids. I was 17 when I first went to my first nightclub, so, like, we've been there too, so, you know, we all start out at a very young age going to nightclubs. I can kind of understand what you're saying in relation to the music would probably come second or third now, as opposed to something else, whereas when we were doing it, people did go purely for the music.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the way nightclubs, I mean, that's exactly what it was. People went to nightclubs in the 1980s and 90s for the music. The drinking then was optional, and meeting a girl was optional if you did, or meet a guy, or whatever it was. And that's where you met people, obviously. You met your friends in a nightclub. But primarily the reason you went was that the DJ would play the latest tunes. And that's the reason you went.
Yeah, well, this is correct, yeah. I have to agree with that, definitely. But I just wouldn't be into them now, you know what I mean?
No, not now. I would probably agree with you.
I mean, some of the tunes right now, I don't understand how the kids understand half the lyrics, even. I mean, it's madness.
But by the way, are we sounding like three old farts on the radio? Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
I remember, if we go back right in time, my father would say the same to me about the music I was listening to in the 80s. How do you listen to that, son? What the hell are those lyrics all about? You know, and I'd be listening to stuff like Spandau Ballet, as Ian mentioned earlier on, all that kind of stuff. So is that just a generational thing that we look upon modern music as being, that we just don't understand it and recognise it?
I think it is, Noel. Can I just say something very quickly? There is a lot of really good music there available, like from funk, disco, soul. There's a lot of good dance music available, although it's not getting into the mainstream. But modern pop music is deplorable. It's horrendously boring and dull, because when we were playing pop music in nightclubs, when you were going into Rumours or anywhere else, we were playing Stockhead and Wallam, and we were playing good pop music from Prince, Michael Jackson, George Michael, Madonna, and they were all big floor fillers. That was pop music then. Whereas, like, pop music now is, it's boring. You couldn't make an impact in a nightclub with it, but that's just the way music has gone.
I think music has just become diluted because there's so many options, as you rightly pointed out. It's easy for anyone to release a song now and just pop it up onto Spotify. In those days, you obviously had to get a record company to produce it, press it, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So there was a limit to how many songs were available. Now, you know, I couldn't even tell you how many songs are released on a weekly basis, but I'm sure it goes into hundreds. So everybody, there's just so much variety, and everybody is not listening to the same music anymore. Where, it, as we pointed out in our day, like three old men here, in our day, we had 30 or 40 popular songs. Sorry, John.
That you played every night.
Can I jump in there for a second?
Yeah,
go ahead. My floor fillers were stuff like Susie and the Banshees, The Cure, Echo and the Bunnymen, Sister Mercy, The Cult. They were my floor fillers there in the Afro spot. I used to play the Spandau Ballets, the Human Leagues, the Fad Gadgets and stuff like that. But my mainstream was more a little bit more. And I used to play Irish stuff as well. I used to play like the Virgin Prunes, Kevin Friday and his gang, Hothouse Flowers and stuff. And they often visited the Afro spot as well, which was always a good thing. But anyway, I'd probably bow out of this, but I used to go and see yourself, Niall. You remember? I used to go and see you in the place, the Rosnery.
I do. I remember it well, yes. The Rosnery, the place. Yeah.
Yeah, and in Club M. You were at Club M.
I was in Club M for 18 years, yeah. Yeah.
You introduced me to the Denon CD player.
I did introduce it. I do. I remember you, John. I remember you well. Listen, guys, it's been lovely talking to you. I have to go to break. Thank you very much indeed, John and Ian. I appreciate it. We want to talk about, by the way, where you met. And you can text us in at 087-188-0008. Text us in a list of all the nightclubs that you remember from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and maybe the early part of 2000. Most of them are all gone now. And as Ian rightly pointed out, you know, there was 26 alone in Dublin that would have been busy every night of the week. And now it looks like there might only be two or three if they even reopen after COVID.
Yeah, it's a sad loss, Niall. Good afternoon. Love the show. Yeah, I was... still am, performer, singer, and I performed in a nightclub in Leeson Street for 15 years, and sadly it closed a couple of years back, but it was the Piano Bar, and we had a live band on stage, and God, the amount of young people that used to come and see us was unbelievable, and older people coming in, and the whole lot, great mix, great crowd, great nights, starting at 1 in the morning, finishing at 3, going home with the birds singing in the sky, but sadly missed. I don't think we'll see it again, but they were great times and great days. Paul here, love the show.
Yeah, well, Paul, I do remember that, even in the nightclub industry, and, you know, when you had the late gigs, and some of the clubs obviously had a better relationship with Angarda Síochána, and they'd stay open till 4 and 5 in the morning, and as you rightly said, you'd be going home with the birds singing.
Hi, Niall. Step into my time machine there, boy, and we'll go for a spin. We'll go back to August 1997 in Cork, and we'll walk into town. It's a balmy evening, we don't need our jackets. It's 10 o'clock. We'll go straight into Sir Henry's, we'll pay in, we'll go up the stairs. The floor is already sticky and we can already feel the music beating. We'll go in. It's Wednesday night, so it's Freak Scene is a place where everyone is welcome, no matter whether you're dressed up, dressed down, looking like a freak or a weirdo. Does not matter. Everyone is dancing. The only time anyone stops dancing is to go and get a drink. It's probably about £2.50 for a vodka and coke, but one of the girls has a naggin in her bag, so we won't spend much. We will dance all night. When we come out onto the street at 2:30, some of the boys will be so soaked in sweat they'll have to change their tops. And we'll have a laugh out in the street for another 30 minutes, and then we'll all walk home again. Happy, happy, happy days.
They were indeed happy days. You brought back a great memory. Of course, Sir Henry's is one of the biggest clubs at the time, one of the most popular clubs in Cork. Let me go to Anne as well. Anne, you're an Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Anne? Oh, Anne-Marie. Sorry, Anne-Marie.
Oh, hi. Hi, Niall.
Hi, Anne-Marie. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Okay, you remember the nightclubs in Limerick. Which ones did you go to?
I used to go to Polder, the Brazen Head. Not so long ago now with the Brazen Head.
Yep.
But I'll tell you now, one of the best places I ever went to was, we used to follow a DJ around. His name was Harry Rooney, and he was brilliant.
Yeah,
we used to say, if we were out of a Friday night, Saturday night or Sunday, whatever night our night was, we'd say, where's Harry playing tonight? And we'd literally follow him around. Now, it wasn't like a disco or a nightclub scene. It was like going to the local clubs, football clubs, and he'd be a DJ there, and
He was a kind of mobile DJ, wasn't he? Yeah,
yeah. He would be on.
And what was his name again? He'd be delighted to hear you giving him a mention on the air. His name was Harry Rooney. Harry
now,
Rooney.
He passed away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, God bless him.
He was brilliant.
Yeah.
As I said, we would get in there and we wouldn't need a drink. You wouldn't need anything, just the music. And it was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have 7 sisters and we used to all go out together when we were younger, and we'd be all into different types of music, but by the end of the disco, we'd be all up on the floor, and looking forward to the sing song when the DJ would be finished. It was brilliant.
And do you think do you think children, when I say children, 18 to 20 year olds now, are they missing, well, leaving aside COVID, forget about COVID, but are they kind of missing out on that whole scene because it's changed so much?
Yeah, they are. And I think now, like, I hear now my youngsters saying, like, youngsters 18 to 26 saying, we're going out at the weekend. And you're saying to them around 8 or 9, I thought you were going out. And they'd say, yeah, we're going to club at about 11.
Yeah.
And you're saying, what? So we used to go out at 7. The DJ would be on at 9, but he'd be going to 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a sing song after it.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a full night out, it was. And some lovely memories. Thank you very much indeed. I'm sure the people of Limerick, we're delighted to hear you mention all those places. Loads of names coming in. Flamingos and Salorgan, the Pink Elephants, Club 92, Peakers and Dunleary, Great Days. Somebody else says the Brasserie Buttery, Reynards, Lily's Bordello. Everyone gets it wrong and says Lily's Bordello, Lily Bordello's, but it's actually Lily's Bordello. Of course, I worked there at one point as well. Coco's Car Wash worked in Coco's as well. Itchy Feet, Marty's, Level 4, the Playhouse, of course, in Tala, the Spa, well, Club 92, Rumours, Night Owls. Oh, so many memories here, by the way, of all these wonderful nightclubs. Somebody else says Coco's Red, Sidetracks in Cork, 80s and 90s, Happiest Days, Paula, the Villa Fan in Cork. And people are just texting in all of these places. They went to Claire's, Sardi's. Sardi's was the first nightclub gig I ever did in my life, and that was a long, long time ago. St. Sands, Tomango, Jets, Rooters, Stardust, Sloopies, Lord John's, which was, of course, just off Sackville Place and off O'Connell Street, TV Club, Tara Club, Apartment, Abraxas. Abraxas. That comes in from Liam in Swords. Somebody says the Disco in the Gresham Hotel. The Disco in the Gresham was Rumours. That would even be full on a weekend or a weeknight. Full of happy young people dancing in a summary of colours, like a scene from a John Beachman poem. All right. Okay. I'll be Beachman. That's what he meant. All right, the Eric Nightclub in Drogheda. Yes, look, the Privilege in Longford. Somebody else says they're just naming them all. Some wonderful memories. I'm going to come back to that, actually. We might come back to that tonight because it's a great topic. And I'm sure it brings back lots of memories for people.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.